All right, let's. Oh,
Sorry,
someone's
I'd
calling.
forgotten to turn the recording on and I just did.
Oh, okay, great. So I just wanted to look at that scripture today because it really is, to me, it's an amazing scripture. We can study it and academics study it and they like to do that sort of stuff, but it's actually a way of life. Living out the gifts of the Spirit is, how we are to live as Christians, because it's God at work in us. And it's only because of his incredible love and incredible grace that he would give us all these wonderful gifts to be used, to be enjoyed, to be appreciated, to see them mature, to see them ripen, and used for his good. And the gifts, because it's our way of life, the gifts of the Spirit are to be used alongside the fruit of the Spirit. So you don't have the gifts without love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control and all those fruit of the Spirit that are talked about in Galatians 5, 22. So it's really important that we appreciate the gifts. We don't knock the gifts. We go, oh, I don't know. Oh, I don't want to do that. Or it's really important that we embrace these gifts that God has given us, and we don't put them down, but embrace them with great humility, because we don't deserve them. It's just God's gift to us. We mustn't despise what God has given us for good. And as I was thinking about that, I thought of a ring. And we are, the church is the bride of Christ. And a lover gives his love a ring, be it an engagement ring or a wedding ring or eternity ring, or and it's like God's giving us in these gifts a ring. And so if you think of it as a ring, it's something beautiful, it's something precious, it's something to be treasured, not just to be put aside, but to be used for him. And so today I really want to focus on Philippians, Corinthians, verses 4 to 6 that Julia read. And I'll just read them to you again. There are different kinds of gifts, but it's the same Spirit that distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but it's the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and everyone, it's the same God at work. See, these gifts are God. They're gifts from God. They're supernatural. They've got the touch of God upon them. I remember going to a conference years ago, and Sir Alan Walker was speaking. Now, he was one of Australia's early evangelists, I guess, or not, maybe 50, 60 years ago. He was often doing big evangelism things. He was well in his 80s at this point in time when I went to the conference, and we asked him to make an altar call, and it was full of ministers. That was who was there. And yet all these people came forward. You go, how could that be? Because he had the touch of God on his life, because that was a supernatural gift, people were convicted, people recommitted their lives. And that's what a supernatural gift does. In verses 7 to 11, there are different kinds of gifts. I like to call that the what. There are different kinds of gifts. What are they? Well, verses 7 to 11 list a whole lot of them, and you can look at them. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, interpretation. But I don't believe that's all the gifts. I actually believe the gifts are as creative as God himself. There are all kinds of gifts, special abilities, talents, capacities given to individuals by the Holy Spirit. They've got that touch of the Spirit about them. When you start to exercise them, the Spirit starts to move through them. It's extraordinary. And they're there for the purpose of serving God, serving others, serving the community. The gifts are very powerful when used in the community. God just loves blessing us. And so he gives us these gifts, but we are blessed to bless others, as it says in Genesis 12. We are there to be a blessing to others. Now, having said all that, so many times when I say to people, what are your gifts? People don't know. They don't have a clue. So I want you to put up your hand if you think you know at least one of your gifts. Put it right up. I'm gonna, you're a long way away, so I've got to see. Okay, yeah, good. Now, if you don't have an idea of what your gifts are, put up your hand. That's fine, I don't mind. Great, most of you know what's at least one of your gift is. That's great. I've got, well, how come I've got Jill Binney ringing me on the phone now? Go away, Jill. Why aren't you at Word Cafe? I'll get onto her later. So how do we find out our gifts? See, I believe that God gives these to us. We have a responsibility to use them. How do we use those gifts for God? How do we find out our gifts? Well, I know when I was at Rangeville, I did a survey. How many of you done a gift survey? I know Cole used to get us to it. Yeah, they're good. They can help. But look at your life, look at your experiences, look at your education, look at your family, look at your opportunities, and that will give you a little bit of a clue, how, and the experiences in life give you a little bit of a clue to your gifts. I think experimenting is a good way. I think give things a go. Too many people go, oh, no, I can't do that. If I had done that years ago, before I was at Rangeville even, I remember being asked to do lead a camp, and I thought, I can't do this. I can't. That was my, I can't do it. And if I'd given into that, I can't, I would never be where I am today. I can't, but God can, as we take these gifts and use them and experiment and give things a go. And you'll find out what you can't do. You'll find out what you don't like doing as much as what you do like doing. But what I really like is that we, as a body of Christ, as the church, affirm each other more in the gifts that we have. Now, I pick up Rhea's grandchildren once a week, pick them up after school, bring them home, feed them bread and water, and send them back when their parents come to pick them up. But anyway, I was talking to Sterling the other day. I said, Sterling, he's 15, or he's 15 next week, later this week. I said, Sterling, you explain things so well. I actually think you've got a teaching gift. He looked at me as if no one had ever said anything like that to him before. We really need to encourage people in their gifts, and tell people, affirm people in their gifts, because people do not know what their gifts are. Look for the gifts in each other, affirm them, because the body of Christ works best when we affirm those gifts in each other. So now I'll say, well, the other thing is, it's very easy to miss the gift. The gift can be camouflaged by immaturity. It can be camouflaged by other characteristics we've got. Now, I don't know how many of you watched the Olympics and enjoyed the Olympics. Any of you enjoy the Olympics? Some of you, yes. Did any of you see a guy, Hunter Armstrong? Does anyone know who he is, what he did? Okay, so he was in the American 4x100 swim team. But they, before the Olympics, they asked the swim team, they said, so who, if anyone is going to miss the bus, who's it going to be? And in unison, the team said, Hunter Armstrong, he'll miss the bus, poor guy. And so when he's introduced at the Olympics, he's introduced as, here's Hunter Armstrong, the most disorganized person in the team. People saw his disorganization, but in actual fact, he swam a brilliant third leg, which helped them to win the gold medal against Australia, which was a big pity. But they won the gold medal. It's easier to see his disorganization than his incredible capacity to swim. So often our gifts are camouflaged, but they are there. So I'm going to give you 20 seconds just to talk to the person next to you, just to say, I see this gift in you. If you don't know each other, just go snap. Because you don't know each other. But if you see a gift in each other, I want you to give you 20 seconds just to affirm that gift in each other. Go. Go. Turn to the person next to you. Go. Affirm them in the gift that you see in them. Anything, all sorts of gifts. All sorts of gifts. All right, time's up. If you haven't, and you can do that again later, Keep affirming each other in their gifts. We need to remember, and I've said already said that the gifts are not mature. They come, we've got to grow and mature into our gifts. And that's part of our discipleship. That's part of the church encouraging and steering. And as we get older, that's part of our role as older people to encourage the younger people in their gifts. They won't do it the same way as you. Their gifts are not, don't have the same sort of maturity that yours have. They look different, they operate differently. We've got to give them room to do that so the younger generation can grow their gifts. And that's a real something that as older people, we really need to do. We really need to speak into our younger people's lives and encourage them in the gifts that God has given them. And I think also as we get older, our gifts mature and we begin to use them in different ways, and we express them in different ways. So I've got a friend who's been, he was a child concert pianist. He was on those TV shows growing up. He's been in ministry for 57 years. He's now retired from ministry, gone back to the piano, but not in the performance style. He's playing in the hospital rehab area, the palliative care area, the foyer of the hospital, the cafe of the hospital, three or four times a week, goes to the hospital and just believes that he's changing atmosphere, believes that he's bringing the peace of God just through his piano playing. And he would never have done that when he was young, but now, as he's matured and aged, he uses the gift in a very different way, being fruitful for what God has given him. Our gifts are our responsibility. When you die, God's not going to go, "So how did Rangel use your gifts?" God's going to go, "How did you use the gifts I gave you? When you get to heaven, how are you going to use the gifts that I gave you?" Gifts, I think, too, can be our strength and our weakness. We really need to learn how to use them. I think of gifts like compassion and empathy. When you're very strong in those, very easy to burn out very quickly. So you've got to learn how to manage it. And so it doesn't become your negative. If you've got gifts of seeing in the spirit, I know people can often see a lot of negative stuff in the spirit as well as the positive stuff. So you've got to be able to manage it, or that becomes overwhelming. It becomes our weakness instead of our strength. In those in leadership, we want to lead all the time and we forget that we've got to give others a go. And that's when it becomes our weakness and not our strength. So there are different kinds, what do I say? There are different kinds of gifts. That's the what. There are different kinds of service. That's the where. So you might have a gift as a teacher, but where do you serve best? Adults? Kindergarten? Big groups? Small groups? Disadvantaged youth or aged care? See, the sad thing is that the church often has a specific jobs that it needs doing. And it says we need someone to do this job. And so we need this certain gift and it fits into this sort of box. But we don't always fit into those boxes. And you can feel, oh, I'm really not very good at that. You might be very good at it, just not in the box that you've been given. So don't worry about that. Learn from it, grow from it. But still, take your responsibility, use the gift you've given you. It might be in a different way, though, to how others might expect you to use that gift. I've got a friend. Does anyone know Mad Dog Mudford? Anyone heard of him, seen him? Been 40 years an evangelist in Australia. And we tend to think, oh, evangelists are Billy Grahams. They get up and they speak out and have big crowds. Well, he's worked out that the way for his gift to be used best is to travel the rural areas. He has a caravan. They pull up in all sorts of country towns. I think right now they're at Gomeri or Mergen or around that area. And what he does is he goes to the Alcoholics Anonymous and the Narcotics Anonymous. And see, in those places, you can. You've got 5 minutes or whatever to give your story. And so he gives his testimony. And hundreds of people have come to know Jesus by that simple method that he's worked out to keep it simple, to do the rural areas, to work through AA or Alcoholics or Narcotics Anonymous. He says to me, "Anne, when you go fishing, you have to go where the fish are." That's good for someone like me who likes fishing. But so often we throw out our line in places where there are no fish. And those of us have got, we've got to learn to use our gifts in ways that are appropriate for the people around us. It's no good. Evangelists are not great in the church if all the people are already Christians. An evangelist has to get outside the church to exercise their gift. When I retired, I'm a facilitator. When I retired, I had to find some people to facilitate or I'd go crazy because I couldn't use my gift without people around me. Our gifts are to be used for others, with the common for the common good. And you need to, not in isolation, you need to work out who's around you that you can use your gifts with. I've got a dear 80-year-old friend who goes down to the markets and hands out tracts. If I did it, they'd sort of throw the tract on the ground. She's so dainty and sweet and nice and loving. They all accept her tracts. And goodness knows how many people she's brought to the Lord. Working out how we do it, getting into the spaces where there are fish for the kind of ministry, the kind of gifts that God has given us. And then the third area is there are different kinds of workings. That's the how. That's the how. And for some of us, our gifts might touch thousands of people. For some, it might only, they might only touch one. For some of us, we might go overseas and see great manifestations of his spirit. And when we come back here, just it seems so dry and not much seems to happen. But we're just called to be responsible to the gifts God has given us. I worked with a guy called David once who was a pretty gawky, skinny sort of guy. He used to say he needed a wife to dress him. He brought his pants belts right up to the top of his chest. Sort of guy wear thongs and socks. Oh, Judy Graham's come in. Hello, Judy. This guy was an incredible evangelist. He couldn't talk much. He wasn't much good at that, but he had an amazing resource and an amazing system of establishing children's clubs. And they were established right across Queensland. And hundreds of children came to know Jesus through this guy that socially didn't sort of quite fit in, but he had an incredible gift of evangelism. And he used it in that way to establish clubs and to provide resources for those who led them. All we've got to do is be faithful to what God has given us. Don't despise the gift. Find out how he wants you to use it and position yourself for the gifts that you have. I think of people like, who remembers Lil Seaton? Dear Lil, I'd call her my hug therapist. She had an incredible gift of hugging. She'd just come up to you and slide her arms under your arms. For those of you who don't know her, she was about 4 foot by 4 foot, but she was just so lovely, so lovely. And she had that incredible gift of hugging people. Hi, Jude, welcome. She's on board now too. Driving along from up at Bargara or somewhere. Excellent. I've got another lady I know who has got a carer, and the carer takes her shopping every week. And instead of, it only takes her an hour to do her shopping, but she organises the carer for 2 hours so she can have time to talk to people and encourage people when she goes shopping. And she's met incredible people, talk with incredible people, encourage people, used her gift just as she goes shopping. I was trying to think, who was the guy at Rangeville who preached at 106? Sid, his name, surname?
Sure.
Shaw, that's it. Sid Shaw.
Sure.
Shaw. Preaching at 106 because he still had that gift that burned inside him. And he wanted to use. Never too old, never too old to use those gifts. Just got to work out how we use them. I am a North Queensland Cowboy fan. We played very well last Saturday, which was great. We might get to the finals yet. But all I hear them saying always about the North Queensland Cowboys is that you've got to know your job. You've got to know your job. And if everyone does their job, will do well. And I think that's like the church. We've got to know our job. We've got to know our gift. We've got to know where our fit we fit, and then it will all go well. But there's one more thing I want to say about those three areas of the gifts that God has given us. A different kinds of gifts, different kinds of service, different kinds of working. But we have a secret weapon, and that secret weapon is faith. And we need to operate our gifts in faith. We need to be prepared to step out. If God doesn't come good, we're in big trouble. Put yourself and your gifts in positions where yeah, if God doesn't come through, it's not going to work. Where faith operates, because it's faith that pleases God. It's faith that releases resources for your gift. Faith is our secret weapon to make it more than just a something we can do. This is we do it by faith. Some of you will know that I'm very involved in Stable on the Strand. It's presently now at Riverway, Stable at Riverway. Been doing it for 25 plus years. Range in Toowoomba back in the 90s. And it's been modified, it's been changed, it's been, yeah, looks very different to that. But it's still an exciting event where we have 35,000 plus people, we have 1,000 volunteers, we have 60 churches involved, and we retell the whole Christmas story. But now it's, you know, it costs us $300,000 a year to put on. It's costly, but every year by faith, we have to believe. And work for $300,000. It's a lot of money, but God's come good every year. Even the years we've just gone down, we've never gone bust. And it's amazing. But we operate by faith. None of us can do that in our own strength, only through faith. And just another great story is a friend of mine was scammed. He's in his 80s, and his wife and daughter came to our home group and just shared the disappointment that he'd lost $80,000 through a scam. I think these scams are terrible and it's really scary, and we just need to be so careful. And the next week they came, they said, look, the bank is going to give back $30,000. And we were really excited about that. I thought, that's great. And I was, you know, I thought, well, he's done well. But while we're having supper that night, one of the girls stops and says, "Hey, stop. I think we need to pray for that 80,000 to be returned." And it was like, "Well, that's a big step of faith. But if she believes it, I'll go with her." And so she prayed. And we heard a couple of days later that the bank, Bendigo Bank, I'll mention them, had agreed to return the $80,000 that had been stolen. They were the losers. They'd lost it too. But they took responsibility, which I thought was great. But that's not quite the end of the story. To have the 80,000 return was incredible. But we've been studying Acts 7. And if you read Acts 7, a couple of times in that scriptures, there's two words that say, but God. And we thought that. We thought, wow, that $80,000 came back for one reason and one reason only, but God, because of faith. But God. And so when we exercise our gifts, we have to have a but God factor to it. What is it that we can't do but God? We can only do because of God. And that's how we need to exercise our gifts, I believe, as we live out our lives as Christians. And as we get older, I think we can think, oh, you know, what can I do or how can I do it? God's got a way. God's put you in a place, be it a home, be it with carers around you, be it with family and young children, where you're to exercise the gifts God's given you. You're not too old, never too old. And you might think you can't do them, but God can do them. There are different kinds of gifts. What are yours? There are different kinds of service. Where do you exercise them? There are different kinds of workings. How do you use them? But in all of them and in every one, it is the same spirit at work. And we can only do it but God. Can I pray with you guys? Father, I thank you. I thank you that you give us gifts, and it's only through those gifts that we can truly be the church, that we can grow as a church, that we can exercise all those gifts and really be the church that you called us to be. And Father, as we get older, I think we can get tired and we can think we've done our bit. But God, I pray that each person at Rangeville today listening will think again about their gifts and how you want them to use them for your glory, how they fit into your kingdom, and how you want to extend the kingdom through using those gifts. Father, I thank you for Rangeville. I thank you for its incredible witness over many, 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 many years. And I bless it today, and I bless every person in that room today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, girl. Is that on? Hey,
Yes, I can
thank
hear
you.
you.
Okay, thank you, Anne. And you can add the list of encouragement to your gifts, okay? Because that was a really encouraging word for us who think we're getting a bit old, you know. But you have just used your gifts beautifully, and we thank you for that, don't we, girls? Give her a big clap. Thanks for joining us, and we do look forward, and we will invite you again many times, no doubt, before you can get here to us. But it's lovely, and it may be 27 years, but it's just like it's just gone in a flash. Yeah, we
I know,
still
it's
remember
incredible,
you, we
isn't it?
still love you, we still think about you, we still pray for you. Yeah. So bless
Incredible.
you.
And still
Thank you so much.
visit me. I have different ones
Oh
here.
yes, when I come up, whether we will
Yeah.
get up again, but we've been up a few times, and you've always made us welcome. So thanks for that.
You're all
Yeah,
welcome, very welcome. It's lovely.
yeah, yeah. Okay. Well,
Thank you. Thanks, Julia. Thanks so much.
you
Thanks, everybody. Bless you
bless
all.
you. Bye bye, Anne.
Bye-bye.
Bye
Bye.
bye.